points tonight. First of all, we find a better father. A better father. I bet if I went around this room tonight and started with the youngest father to the oldest father, everyone in here would say, I want to be a better father. Someone has said that raising a child is a lot like trying to nail a jello ring to a tree. Any parent knows that teaching or training a child is anything but an easy job. Can somebody say amen right there? The advice of Psalm 128 encompasses the full gamut of the home, but it's directed primarily to the head of the home. In fact, you'll notice that the reference is made to thy wife and thy children in verse number 3. And so this is a psalm filled with counsel for husbands and fathers. As a father, you may not be the wealthiest, but you can be the wisest. You may not be the most famous, but as a father, you can be the most faithful. You may not be the have the biggest family, but you can have the best family. In fact, the psalmist instructs us how to be better fathers. To be a better father, first of all, we must be men loyal to God. We must be men loyal to God. Look at verse number 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. The psalmist is saying that the first requirement for being a better father is to be a man who is loyal to God. We must learn to be men who fear the Lord. When the Bible speaks of fearing the Lord or the fear of the Lord, the reference is not to being afraid or terrified of Him. No. Listen, the words of fear speaks of a profound reverence toward Him. Listen, we're loyal to everything under the sun. We're loyal to our ball teams, and we're loyal to those that we root for. We're loyal to many things. We're loyal to our truck brands, and we're loyal to our fishing lures, a certain brand of those. We're loyal to everything under the sun. But if we're going to be a better father, we need to be men that are loyal to God. According to Proverbs 1:7, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wise is the man, the husband, and the father who learns to fear the Lord. Wise is the man who lives with a conscious awareness of God's person and as well as God's presence and His providence as well as His power. Wise is the father who fears the Lord. I'm afraid in modern day Christendom, most men today, they show up just so they can fulfill their obligation because they know that they need to be in church with their family. But as soon as they leave church, they've met their obligation, and that's as far as it goes. Their loyalty to God goes no further than that, and they have no desire to be a better father, or if they do have a desire to be a better father, they won't take the steps to be men loyal to God. Listen, if you're going to be a better father, it's going to take a man who's loyal to God. One commentator I read said this: you'll never properly fear God until you've learned for yourself what kind of God is. When you've stood before Him and felt your guilt, you've heard Him say, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more, you'll be able to properly fear God. Men, listen to me tonight. Our families need us to be men who fear God more than they need you to be a man that knows how to do a whole gamut of things, more than you know how to do things to provide for their physical needs. They need men who are loyal to God. There's no loyalty in this day and age. But they need to be men loyal to God. Number 2, they need to be men living for God. Men living for God. Verse number 1 reminds us that the occupation of our life is this: to walketh in His ways. Fellas, can I ask you a question? This is a serious question. It's a sobering question. Where does your loyalty and your priority of God lie in your life? Oh, no. You may say it's number 1 or it's number 2, it's number 3, but if your family was interviewed, what would they say by the way you live your life? You see, if you're going to be a better father, it's men living for God. The word walketh is the Hebrew word that means to behave. This is in reference to how we live our lives. While we're to be loyal to God in fearfulness, we must be living for God with faithfulness. I believe it's safe to say that a man loyal to God is a man who is living for God. Can I ask you a question, fellas? Do you do anything for God other than sit in your pew? Honestly, think about it now. Let's think about it. I'm trying to tell you how to be a better father according to Psalm 128. Do you do anything for God other than sit in your pew? Show up at church. Do you do anything for God? Listen, I believe it's safe to say, as I mentioned a while ago, a man loyal to God is a man who is who is living for God. Living for God is good for your physical well-being, but it's necessary, it's essential for your spiritual well-being. Men, God has called us to love our families. God has called us to lift our families. He's called us to lead our families in the things of God. And the burden of proof rests upon our shoulders. Our families deserve that we live for God, and the Bible demands that we live for God. As a man, husbands, and fathers, God expects us to be the provider. Sure, if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. It's what the Bible says. He's worse than an infidel. Can I get a witness right there? Protector. He's the preserver of the home. But most of all, God expects us to be the pastor, the priest, and preacher of our homes. Hey, fellas, did you hear that? God expects us to be the pastor, the priest, and the preacher of our homes. Our greatest role is that of an evangelist. We're to lead our family in the things of God. We shouldn't just send our family to church. We should bring them to church. Why is that? Because the strength of any home is determined, it's developed, and decided by the man, the husband, or the father who is loyal to God and who is living for God. So fellas, if you want to be a better father, a better father is a man that's loyal to God, but it's also a man that's living for God. But we see in Psalm 128, there's not only how to be a better father, but it's also how to be a bold father. It's how to be a bolder father. We can be a better father by becoming a better father figure, but we can be a bold father by becoming a father of faith. In fact, the psalmist seems to indicate that it is the faith of the father that shapes the home. That's what the psalmist seems to indicate here, is the faith of the father. And ladies, let me just say this. I'm not making light of anything of your faith. I'm not making light of anything of your walk with God. But according to the psalmist here, it's the faith of the father that seems to shape the home. Listen to this recent survey that was taken. It revealed that if only the father took his children to church, 59% of the children followed in the footprints of faith. Think about that, 59%. If only the mother took the children to church, the number dropped to 15%. Isn't that amazing? Men, our faith is the faith that must shape our homes. Some of us, you ought to feel the heaviness and the weight of that. By the way, that's not me putting that on your shoulders. That's God putting that on our shoulders. God has put that on our shoulders. Listen, put that slide back up there, the title of the slide. Put that up there. The title. Go back to the first one. The husband, the head of the home. Oh, we like to beat our chest and say husband, head of the home. Well, we got to understand something. It's more than just something that I put on a screen. It's something that God has on our shoulders. It's something that God has placed upon us as the head of our home. It's our faith that ought to shape our homes. Listen, I'm thankful. You ought to be thankful if you got a kid that knows how to pray. You ought to be thankful that you have a godly wife that walks with God. You ought to be thankful for those things. But men, hear me tonight. It is your faith that will shape your home. If you're limp-wristed, weak-kneed in your faith, your home is going to be limp-wristed and weak-kneed. If you don't know how to walk with God, if you don't know how to get up and do what's right and be faithful to church and have your family faithful to church and do the things that you know how to do, your family's not going to know how to do it. I didn't put that upon you. God has placed that. I'm hoping you can feel the weight of that tonight. Because God has placed that upon you as the head of the home. The head of the home. And so, to be a bolder father, men, our faith is the faith that must shape our homes. In order to be a bolder father, you must first of all share your faith committedly. Share your faith committedly. Again, in verse number 4, the admonition is specific. Look at it. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. In other words, fathers have the responsibility of loyalty to God and living for God. Notice the effect of this type of faith has on the entire home. Look at verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. The psalmist seems to draw a parallel between the faith of the father and the faith of the family. He seems to suggest that the father's faith sets the barometer for the family's faith. In other words, when fathers share their faith committedly and fear the Lord, it carries over to the rest of the family. Walk in his ways. walk in his ways. We know over the years that there's been much debate. We never thought it would have been, but there's been much debate in our country. The controversy arose about the Ten Commandments being taken down in public places, in federal courthouses, and government institutions, and people rose up, and there were people that never even went to church that was picketing, and they probably couldn't even tell you what the Ten Commandments were, but they knew they needed to be in the courthouse. They didn't need to be taken out. And the truth of the matter is that the Ten Commandments are nothing more than the law of God that's contained in the Word of God. And church, listen, while they may be taken down in the courthouse and in the schoolhouse, they'll never be taken down in your house and in my house. The command is given in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. In verse 6, the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and thou liest down, and thou risest up." Hey, I got news for you. It's not the school's responsibility to teach and train your children the things of God. Let me say that again. It's not the school's responsibility to teach your children the things of God. It's not the government's responsibility to teach and train our children in the things of God. Let me say that again. It's not the government's responsibility to teach your children in the things of God. Hey, I'm fixing to blow your mind. It's not the church's responsibility to teach and train our children in the things of God. That responsibility rests upon the shoulders of parents, primarily fathers, to teach and train our children in the things of God. Now, let me be clear. The church's responsibility is to assist you in training and teaching your children in the things of God. That's why they need to be faithful to church. That's why they need to be faithful in Sunday school, is for us to assist you in teaching them the things of God. As a father, you must share your faith committedly. Hey, Daddy, let me ask you a question. As your children get older and if they've got a question about the Bible or the things of God, will they run to you or Mama to get an answer about that question? Boy, that's a sobering question, isn't it? If they got a question about their eternal soul, would they run to you or Mama? Share your faith. If you're going to be a bolder father, share your faith committedly. Number two, show your faith consistently. Show your faith consistently. Notice the tense of the Hebrew verb in verse number one. We see the word feareth, and then we see the word walketh. In verse number four, we again find the word feareth. Now, these verbs are expressed in the present imperative tense. They not only denote a command, but it's an ongoing, consistent action. In modern, what we have is yo-yo daddies. We got yo-yo fathers who are up one week and they're down next week. They're happy one week, they're mad the next week. They're up and they're down, they're in and they're out, they're faithful, they're back, they're here, they're there, they're everywhere, but they're never consistent. So what this verse is telling us, men, is we are to consistently fear the Lord and follow the Lord before our families. A faith that is shared committedly must also be shown consistently. Fellas, would you be characterized as a consistent, steadfast Christian? Or would you be characterized as one, well, you better not ask them, you don't know if they're going to be here or not. Hey, let's talk about that heavenly language I talked about this morning. Hey, this hit me between the eyes long before it hit. I got up here this tonight, I promise you. Listen to these words. I saw you stand bravely through the years. I saw no signs of senseless fears. I saw you stand quietly through the stress. I saw no glimpse of bitterness. I saw you stand prayerfully in grief, and I saw no signs of unbelief. Though you spoke well of Jesus Christ, I caught your faith by watching your life. Do you know what the biggest turnoff in today's children is when it comes to the things of God? This was asked of 1,000 children that were raised in church that are no longer in church. You know what the biggest turnoff of children out of church today as adults? It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not the youth pastor. It's not religion. It's not a certain sermon. This is what they said. Phony parents who sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus" on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. Men, hear me tonight. Share your faith committedly. Show your faith consistently. And if you'll do that, you'll be a better father as well as a bolder father. Then look, notice lastly, we find a blessed father. A blessed father. I read a story some time ago. In 1993, workers were remodeling the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. And as they moved a cabinet, something fell out from behind that was hidden behind it. And it was a photograph of a middle-aged man in a baseball uniform with the words Sinclair Oil on the shirt. Attached to the photograph was a handwritten note that said this, and I quote, "You were never too tired to play ball. On your days off, you helped build the Little League field. You always came to watch me play. You were a Hall of Fame dad. I wish I could share this moment with you." No one had a clue as to who had written this note and placed this photo in the Hall of Fame. But Sports Illustrated picked up the story, and they published the photo, and a man who came forward to say that he had written the note about his father, and this man who now himself wanted to pay tribute to a dad who meant so much to him. And so he held a private ceremony there in Cooperstown in which he inducted his father into the Hall of Fame. Psalm 128 should inspire every father to be a Hall of Fame dad. When we seek the Lord and serve the Lord, God promises a Hall of Fame blessing. God will bless us with three things. Let me give them to you. Number one, He'll bless us physically. He'll bless us physically. To the father who fears the Lord and walks in the ways of God, the blessings is pronounced in verse number two. Look at it. "Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 19, because of sin, man was condemned to eat bread by the sweat of his brow, by the curse of hard, difficult labor. In Psalm 128, the curse is lifted and turned into a blessing by God's promise that He will provide all the daily necessities of life to the home that fears Him and the home that follows Him. It's interesting to note that in Psalm 127, it says that everything we do will be in vain except the Lord build the house. However, Psalm 128 declares that if we fear God, follow God, love God, and live for God, then nothing we do will be in vain. Dad, fathers, according to the Word of God, if you put God first, keep Him first in your life, in your home, God will bless you physically. Think about that, isn't it? What's our part? What's our part? We are to fear God, serve Him, love Him, and He will bless us physically. But He'll also bless us spiritually. Verse number 2 also promises that it shall be well with thee. Now, when I read that, the first question comes to mind is, how well? How well will it be? You'll notice the many times that the word blessed is in Psalm 128. In verse 1, in verse 4, in verse 5, the word blessed is the Hebrew word for happy. But in the context, in this context here, in this text, in the context of this verse, it means, oh, how happy. That's beyond happy. It's more than just happy. It's, oh, how happy. It's more than just getting a piece of pie. It's got ice cream on top of it. The pie is good, but a piece of ice cream on top, oh, how much better is it? Can I get a witness right there? Amen. What a promise. Men, husbands, fathers, God is promising protection. He's promising prosperity. He's promising peace. He's promising pleasure. If you'll love your family, if you'll lead your family, if you'll lift your family in the things of God, He will bless you physically, but He'll also bless you spiritually. But then lastly, He'll bless you domestically. Domestically. Psalm 128 depicts the home as a little bit of heaven on earth. When we as fathers assume the spiritual leadership in our homes to fear the Lord than to follow the Lord and seek the Lord and serve the Lord, we're promised tremendous blessing because of that. One of the most beautiful aspects of this blessing is described in verse number 3. Look at it. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about the table. Now the phrase fruitful vine does not necessarily imply that your wife will produce a whole bunch of children. Or in some people's case, they will. Whatever floats your boat, amen? But that's not what it necessarily implies here. Although the Bible does not describe children as a blessing, they do describe the children as a blessing where it says the heritage of the Lord. That phrase, enjoyment. There's many times we joke and say, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. But the psalmist here describes the home which honors God. The wife will find enjoyment in all that she does. The phrase, children like olive plants round about thy table, that speaks of enrichment. Olive trees take years to mature and become profitable. However, when patiently cultivated, they become valuable and continue to produce a profitable crop for years to come. So the interesting thing about this picture is that both images, vines and olive plants, are biblical symbols of an abundant life. They symbolize the rich blessings of the Lord that will continue for years to come. In verse 6, with thy children's children. You want to be a blessed father? Become a better father, a bolder father. If you're going to be a better father, then the psalmist teaches us to be men that are loyal to God, men who are living for God. If you're going to be a bolder father, we're going to be men that share our faith committedly and show our faith consistently. And then we'll be a blessed father physically, one that fears the Lord. Spiritually, shall be well with thee. And then domestically. Fellas, you may not be able to give your family everything money can buy, but you should seek to give them the only thing money cannot buy, and that is a relationship with the risen, redeeming, reigning Savior that will last throughout all eternity. Fellas, you can chase your careers, your hobbies, and pleasures if you want, but there'll be a price to pay in neglecting the responsibility of leading your home. There will be a price to pay. There will become a payday. We ought to desire to be husbands that lead our home, that lift our home, that love our homes. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you for listening so well tonight. Sometimes messages like tonight can be very, very convicting. Because let's be honest, fellas, there's not a one of us in here that don't fall short. There's not a one of us in here that we can't do better. Not a one of us. Many times we feel like we owe our children an apology. I understand. I don't think it's ever too late to become a better father, a bolder father, so we can enjoy becoming a blessed father. Maybe you need to come find a place around the altar and spend some time with the Lord tonight. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths found therein. Lord, I pray that you help us men to be better fathers, husbands, and leaders of our home. God, I pray that you would, Lord, help it not to be something that we just get stirred up about in a message, but we take it home and put it into practice. I pray now that you'd bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.